Today is Resurrection Sunday. We had a Sunday school lesson about the benefits of the resurrection, but that's not really, when I started asking the Lord if He wanted me to give something this morning, He took my thoughts in a different direction, and so I don't have what you would call a proper Easter message this morning, but I have something that, something different. I do appreciate the special song because it has the very element in it that I want to talk about this morning. And I thought, also thought I might have something more about God's church, because that's what we spoke about last Sunday. But the Lord put that on hold as well. So I have a message about personal testimony, and I appreciate your prayers. The word testimony, as it is in the New Testament, when it talks about they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that word testimony, if you look it up in the Greek, it means evidence given, a record, a report, a witness. So it's not something that can be made up or manufactured. It can be. It's pretty hollow when it happens that way. But it's simply the bearing of the evidence to the public. Something that's happened to me, and I'm not just going to keep it inside, but I'm going to make it known. I'm going to bear it so that it may be seen by others. There are people who do that in a carnal way, where it's more of for a show to point to themselves. But when a testimony is true and it's given in the right spirit, it never points to ourselves, but it points back to Jesus Christ. And we should not be ashamed to give it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, we won't turn there, but He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." There are a lot of elements that we really need to have in our lives as Christians. We teach about living above sin. That's important. Believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's important. All of those things are cornerstones, pillars in our faith. But we've got an element that sometimes I think is overlooked. And that is the element of personal testimony. I was in a setting a while back where there was a place I went to and sung with some people and looked in the book, and the songs, and they were about what Jesus did and how great He is and all that, and that's good. We need to sing those kind of songs. But I came back from it and I said, there's something that's missing that I wish was there in a greater way. And it's the element of personal testimony. You know that it's not just in songs, but in every aspect of our lives, we need to have a testimony that we can give. I'm not talking about just coming up with something in Wednesday night prayer meeting to share. That's important too. But there are many different ways that we can give our testimony. But the bottom line is that we need to have a testimony. We need to give a testimony. The testimony is simply a bearing of record, a witness of what has taken place in my life. People give testimony in a court of law about what they saw and what they heard and what they did. And the Lord wants us to give a testimony so that others can see what we've done and what the Lord's done in us. Not what we've done like look at what I did, but look at what the Lord's done for me. Matthew 10, 28. Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." What that means is not going to fall without your Father knowing about it. Without your Father allowing it. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore," anytime you see the word therefore, it means because of this. We can draw this conclusion because of what we've just said. Because your life is valuable. Because the Lord cares about you. Because nothing's going to happen to you without your Father allowing it. Because nothing's going to happen without it passing through His hand. "Therefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So, you know, if you're here this morning and you have gotten saved, that's good. And I'm very happy about that. But it's not enough for us to just carry. Jesus said, men don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel. Because then the light doesn't have any effect. You might as well not have the light at all. But the reason that we have the light of Jesus Christ in our lives this morning is for a testimony and a witness to impart light to others so that they can have the light of Jesus also. So he said, "Whosoever shall confess me," and he didn't just say "in your heart." That's good if we do it in our heart. But it says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men." Sometimes that's kind of hard to do. But he said, "Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And I don't know who all was here when he said that. But it came down to a time right before Jesus was crucified where Peter was in the courtyard near where Jesus was being tried, warming himself at the fire, and some people started gathering around. And one of them said, "Aren't you one of Jesus' disciples?" And Peter said, "No, I'm not one of his disciples. I don't know the man. Don't know who he is." And then somebody else said, "I think I saw you with them." And he said, "No, I didn't." I think he said with an oath, "I did not do it." And then one of them said, "Well, you talk like him. Your speech betrays you." And he began to curse and swear. And he said, "I do not know the man." It was an awful tough position that he was in. See, this is why Jesus said, because you're of more value than many sparrows, don't be afraid to confess my name. Because that's the whole plan. That's what I'm wanting. He said in many places, he said, you're going to have tribulation. He said to the people in Revelation, one of the churches, I don't remember which one it was. He said, fear not that. I think it's maybe Philadelphia. He said, the devil's going to cast you in prison. You're going to have tribulation for 10 days. Which I think is probably a symbolic number. It might have meant years, I don't know. But he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. In another place, another congregation, he said, you have not denied my name. You haven't denied my name. Well, Peter denied Jesus. He denied that he had ever been with him. He said, I don't know him. But after, and Jesus had told him, you're going to do it. And he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. How are you going to do that? How is Peter going to do that? It's by personal testimony. And after the resurrection and after the day of Pentecost, we find that the Peter that was in the courtyard was not the same Peter that appeared before the Gentiles on the day of Pentecost. They came out speaking with new tongues and all the evidences that something new had happened. And Peter stood up in the very face of opposition. People were making fun of him, saying, these people are full of new wine. What's going on here? And Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Peter, standing up with the eleven, lifted up his voice. Keep in mind, this is the same person that had denied Jesus three times in the courtyard. No more. None of that. He said, Peter, standing up with the eleven, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the 23rd verse, we'll just skip down a little bit. So he began to tell about Jesus and how Jesus was crucified. It said in the 23rd verse, him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So in all of that, he wasn't, and there are several elements here, all right? Peter no longer denied Jesus, but instead he came and he presented Jesus to the people, and along with that, he was giving his own personal testimony. Almost, and he didn't really even have to do it. It was very evident. He was the same one. He was the same one that had stood in the courtyard and denied Jesus three times. And I wonder if he blushed a little bit when he stood up. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was given these words to say. And he got up and he said, this is what's going on. And he wasn't saying, he could have maybe sidestepped it a little bit and said, you know, these are some people that are serving God with all their heart, and the Lord has sent his Spirit. Because something similar happened in the Old Testament. If you would have told it like that, I mean, there was times when people, when the Spirit of God would come and people would get together and prophesy. Remember the time where Saul went down and he got among them, and he was already doing some bad things, but he got among them. He started prophesying too. Peter could have kind of sidestepped the whole issue of Jesus and said, you know, we're just some people that want to serve God. We've got the Spirit of God among us and all that. But he said, no, this is what's happened. This is the Holy Spirit that's come because of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom you've crucified. And he included himself in that. And he stood before them bearing this light and this testimony. And there are times when the Lord, you know, the Lord wants us to bear the testimony of Jesus Christ to the world and him crucified. And not just what he's done, but what he's done for us. Let's get into some scriptures here. This is why we have songs In My Heart He Has a Place. There He Reigns by Wondrous Grace. For He lives, yes He lives in me. I love the element of personal testimony in the song. In our songbook, we've got, and there's songs that we just sang, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, All Fear Is Gone. It's wonderful to sing songs about how great the Lord is. Those are good. Those are just as good as the songs of personal testimony in them. But we don't want to just stop at talking about how great the Lord is. Because, I'll tell you why. Because if we exclude the element of personal testimony, we limit how great the Lord is what we can tell people about. If He's great enough to hang the stars, create the universe, create the earth and everything, but He's not great enough to change our hearts, what kind of a testimony of the Lord is that? And so the Lord wants us to have a personal testimony of victory in our lives that we can share with other people and say, this is what the Lord has done for me. Not doing it in a confrontational way, not doing it in a condemning way, not lifting ourselves up and putting other people down, but offering it as a seed and just basically coming, you can do it at your work. People say, well, you know what? Why don't you cuss like everybody? Because of what Jesus did for me. And you can leave it at that. I mean, you don't have to get on and say, you know, you're wicked and all. There may be a place to interject some of that sometimes, but most of the time, all you have to do is just say what the Lord has done for you. And leave it at that. And those seeds will begin to grow. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. So let's talk about church service for just a little bit, right? When we have service, it's a very special thing. The Lord instituted holding church services. It's something that is sanctioned by God. It's not, I had somebody tell me one time, well, I just have church in my heart. That's not enough. If there are times when that's all you can do, if you're sick, too sick to come, John was in the Isle of Patmos. He was by himself, but he was still able to get into the Spirit on the Lord's day. That was his testimony. But whenever we can, the Lord wants us to worship together, not just so that it sounds good, all right? I enjoy having the songs. I enjoy listening to it. I enjoy four-part harmony. I enjoy music. I enjoy that, all of that. But that is not the purpose of us coming together to worship. The purpose is because our voices and our hearts are a sweet-smelling incense to God. We can agree with each other in our prayers. And I believe that the collective effort is more of a... There's something in it that's more power with God. You're going to get more results that way. There is something about voices united in praise to God, in supplication to God, and it says that we can edify each other with what? Personal testimony of what the Lord's done for us. It's kind of hard for me to look at somebody and say, brother, there's victory for that in your life, if I don't have victory in my own life. The Lord wants us to come together as a victorious group of people. And you know what? If you're not victorious this morning, we want you to come anyway. Because that's one of the benefits. We are to reach out and shine the light of the gospel. You know, we can sing. And it's a good thing to collectively sing. I'm just going to mention some elements. I'm thankful that those that have gone before me had the wisdom to implement some of the elements that we have in our church services. Some of the things that I don't see everywhere, I have seen in other places. I'm not trying to say that we're the only group that does these things right. But I appreciate what the Lord has given people that have been handed down to us. You know, we can get together and we can sing ever so deep spiritual songs. But you know, when we get all together and we sing, there is an element of personal testimony that needs to go occasionally beyond that. I'm going to read you a few scriptures, all right? You know, if I'm looking across a chapel or across a tabernacle, I think about Monarch. Monarch's arranged in a half circle. So the people on the side of the half circle are directly facing the people on the other side. So you can see really good in there. You know, I can look across and I can see all the people singing, and I don't know who's singing and who's not. But you know, I can see people's hands raised in the air. Do you know there is something to that? I'm going to read a few scriptures. We won't turn to them. I'm just going to catch them real quick. Psalm 63:3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalms 134:2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, this verse, I'll just comment on this verse real quick. If you look at the original, the Hebrew on that, it doesn't say actually lift up your hands in the sanctuary. It says lift up your hands to holiness or to the sanctuary, to the temple. And that's what they would do. They would lift up their hands, signifying that I want the Lord's way. I want the peace of Jerusalem. I want the blessing of God. Lord, bless this place. Let your light shine upon your holy city. That's what we talked about last week. But we do the same thing today. You can lift up your hands. And you say, well, that's a literal thing. That's an Old Testament thing. That's not just an Old Testament thing. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What does it mean when you lift up your hand in the service? It means I agree with that. It's something that I have experienced in my own life. If we sing the song, in my heart he has a place, there he reigns by wondrous grace, and you lift your hand. Now it's not just that I'm one of the group singing, but I am saying to the rest of the congregation, to everybody that's there, this is true. This has happened. The Lord is reigning in my heart. It's not just a dead. I want to tell you something in the fear of God this morning, that if we lose the element of personal testimony in our worship services, we have lost a great deal. All right? It says, yeah, I'm going to read a couple other scriptures. Nehemiah 8:6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces toward the ground. And one more, Psalm 141:6. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The Lord has some very special blessings in store for His people when they come and they worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And yes, we want to come and we want to praise the Lord, but part of the beauty of a worship service that is Holy Spirit led is the element of personal testimony where we can feed off of what we see. You know, and we can look and say, you know what? Maybe I can't raise my hand to that song, but I see somebody else raising their hand to it, and I know what kind of tribulation they've gone through, and I know what kind of struggles they had, and by the grace of God, I'm going to get there too. And I heard somebody else tell a story one time about somebody that raised their hand in a song, and somebody that was maybe sitting next to him, I don't remember all the details, said, you're not measured up to that. And they said, I am now. I've got the light of it. I've got the truth of it. It's something that rings true in my heart. And it's more of a just it's not bragging rights. It's not, but it's an accountability. It's an accountability. I bear record in front of everybody else that I'm going, by the grace of God, I'm going to live to this. If it's a challenge, I'm going to live to it. If it's a promise, I'm going to hold to it. If it's something that the Lord has given me in my life, I'm attesting to you that I am walking in the light by the grace of God, and I'm not going to go back from it. You come and see me next week and next month, I'm going to be true and faithful to the Lord. And that's the element of personal testimony in a worship service. We don't want to lose that. We can do it by a raising of our hands. We can do it by saying things. We can say amen. We can say anything. Don't make it a cold form. Don't just, this is the time where you're supposed to say amen. Don't do it that way. Don't do it where it's just something automatic or canned. But say, Lord, how do you want me to have the element of personal testimony in the worship service. If you're going to have the victory, you're going to live a victorious life. That is going to have to be a part of it. I'm going to get to that, and I'll prove that to you by the scriptures. All right. Revelation 5 and 5. One of the elders, this is the vision that John had, that he was up in heaven and seeing what was taking place up there. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. And you know, that element of praise to God and talking about his greatness is very important. I want to stress that. But that's not all they said. They said, and hast redeemed who? Us to God. You know who the 24 elders and the four beasts are? To the best of my understanding, the 24 elders and the four beasts represent all of the people, all of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The whole gospel system, the whole system of people in the Old Law, before the Old Law, and in the New Covenant. Moses, Noah, Abraham, Nehemiah, Daniel, Job, all of them, and then you and I today. And that's what this is in the book of Revelation, if you study it out. He said, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I want to back this scripture up by another scripture in Revelation, the first chapter. John to the seven churches, Revelation 1 and 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this is not talking about just some sort of, you can say, well, I don't really understand the book of Revelation. I don't understand what the 24 elders are. That's fine. If you don't understand that, that's fine. But John said he hath made us. He's not talking about creatures in heaven that may or may not have bearing upon what's on earth. I think they do. But he's talking about us. In the first chapter, it says that he's made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And we know that that's talking about right here and right now, that we have the victory and we have the power, and it's not any kind of a gospel, or the gospel has no weight to it if we go and we just tell people the Lord wants to give you a blanket to cover your sin, or if we go to somebody and say, brother, there's victory. There's victory, but I don't have victory. We need to be able to say, the Lord has given me the victory. It's not bragging. Doesn't have to be. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Where you say, you know, I used to struggle with this, and this had me in chains. And I was bound. But the Lord came and He set me free. And He took me out of the prison. There's many ways that we can offer our personal testimony. We can do it in corporate worship services. We can do it one-on-one on the job. We can do it with our coworkers. We can do it with our customers. We can do it with our family members. You know, our children need to hear personal testimony from us. And you know, our children are going to know more than anybody else whether that personal testimony is something that's cooked up or not. Our children, they know who we are. They know who we are at home. They see us with our faults. But they still need to see a personal testimony. So the takeaway here is that if you don't have a personal testimony that's worth anything, then you need to get one. All right? All right, so let's go on in Revelation. I like how many places there are, and I doubt I've even got them all, really. If you go down to the 9th verse of the 1st chapter, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and what? For the testimony of Jesus Christ. And in the 6th chapter, in the 9th verse, I don't want to go into a Revelation study here this morning, but I just want to catch these scriptures quickly. It says, Revelation 6 and 9, and when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And you think, well, maybe those were people that weren't very smart. And they gave the testimony when they shouldn't have, and what did it get him? It got him put to death. No, this is all part of the plan of God. There was one of the early church fathers said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You don't put your light under a bushel. Jesus said, that's not how you're supposed to. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe some of the periods of time that have had the most explosive church growth are times when there was the most persecution. But I don't think you would have seen that growth had the people that were part of God's true church put their light under a bushel and just crawled back in the darkness and not done anything. God's church has always, if they are His true church, the Lord's church has always had a personal testimony that emanated from them and shone as a light even to those that were about to persecute them. The Lord wants us to have a personal testimony. So Revelation 12 and 11, it talks about the dragon and all that. I don't want to get into a study of that this morning, all right? But it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Well, you can overcome a lot of things by the blood of the Lamb, but it didn't just say that they overcame him just by the blood of the Lamb. It said that they overcame by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death. If they had, they might not have been able to implement the word of their testimony to that effect. The Lord wants us to have a personal testimony that shines in worship services, on the job, in the home, in the store, among our family members, at family reunions, everywhere we're at. He wants us to have a personal testimony. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be unwise. The Lord said, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Another scripture says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. But if you take that scripture and you interpret it to mean, well, I just should clam up and not say anything about Jesus. No, that's not what that means at all. It means a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that. How were they able to overcome the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony? You ever thought about that? James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to tell you, this is my personal view, but I believe that I have the Spirit of God in this morning. I believe that many victories are left on the table and not picked up and implemented into our lives because we neglect the aspect of personal testimony. It says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We can get caught in a vicious downward cycle where we're still faithful to come to church and we're still trying to live for God and we're still trying to do right, but we come to church and we feel like, well, I failed here and I did this and so I don't have any testimony. We come and we're all discouraged. And then we go home and we don't get the victory and we come again and we live in this cycle that we don't ever have the victory. Okay? But the Lord has something better for that than that for us. He has a way where you can go home. You ever go to camp meeting and get what they call maybe the camp meeting high? Go to the altar and you come home and you think, I'm on top of the mountain. Those were such good messages. I'm so encouraged. I feel like I can conquer the world. And then you get to the real world, life, and things just kind of fall apart. And you think, wow, I didn't know I was going to have to deal with that. And then by a couple weeks later, you come to church and you're all burned out again. The Lord wants us to have something better than that. And I will tell you personally that I have found that a valuable weapon in my own life has been the element of personal testimony. To come and give what the Lord, and you know what? If I've been struggling and I'm in a battle in one thing, then I'm going to testify about something else the Lord's done for me. And I'm going to say that this is what, and I'm saved. And I want you all to know that I'm going to keep fighting. And you can even say I'm struggling with something. Pray for me. You can include that in there if you want to. But it's important for us to be able to stick our neck a little bit out a little bit. You know that that's going to involve going beyond your comfort zone. I have found that living for the Lord involves going out of our comfort zone all the time. You're just going to have to do it. I think sometimes we're a little bit spoiled. We get spoiled and we just think, well, we just got it made. Just going to go to church and got a good church to go to. Got a good preacher. He'll tell us what to do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do it. It's not up to the preacher to be the one to give your personal testimony. We can't. You're going to have the element. You're going to have to bring that. That's why our worship services, I alluded to this a while ago, our worship services are not pre-programmed. We do have kind of a pattern that we follow. Doesn't have to be that way. I've seen it turned on its head. Or maybe it was all songs and no message. Or maybe they had the altar call when they were supposed to sing the spec. I've seen that before. And we call that, well, that was one of the Lord's services. Well, every service is the Lord's service. But in our services, the people that went before me in their wisdom, and I believe they were inspired to do this, incorporated as much of the element of personal testimony or the opportunity to give it as they could. That's why we don't come with a list of what songs we're going to sing. You can call your own song. I don't know what song you woke up with this morning. What song the Lord's inspired to you. What song the Lord gave you so that you would have the victory. And you call that song. And the Lord makes it alive to you. And maybe if they're taking prayer requests and somebody says, anybody have any Thanksgiving? That's an opportunity for you to give your personal testimony. And say, I was battling something this week. And the Lord gave me this scripture and I have the victory. Those things are important. They're beneficial. They're edifying. If we lose that element in our worship services, we have fallen very far. We've lost a lot. I don't want to lose that element. It's why we have, it's, you know, on Wednesday night can seem really, I used to struggle a lot more with the idea of going to church Wednesday night because, and we do, actually we do have a lot more Bible studies now than we used to, but I would struggle and I think, sometimes we just sit there and nobody says anything and the service is so dry. But there, we give a special opportunity for personal testimony. And I want to tell you, I have come to Wednesday night prayer meeting before and been filled up with the testimony of others. That's one of the purposes. That's one of the grand purposes. And sometimes I feel like that we leave victories because we don't use this. It's a valuable weapon. Don't just say I'm going to be a silent Christian. You can't do that for very long. The Lord might give you a space of time where that's okay. But there's a time where the personal testimony element needs to grow and it needs to manifest itself. May the Lord help us today. By faith, Hebrews 11 and 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I don't know if he made that testimony public or not, but evidently somebody knew about it, because it's written down here several thousand years later. You know, don't give a false testimony. I have heard of situations before where people were required to give, in Wednesday night prayer meeting, required to give a testimony, and somebody somebody said, I don't have a testimony. Or so I think one person said, not even saved. And the person that was watching over him said, well, what difference does that make? Folks, that's very harmful to the cause of Christ. Don't do that kind of thing. A testimony has to be real. It has to be solid. It has to be without hypocrisy. That's what the book of James said. It's the wisdom is without, from above, is without partiality and without hypocrisy. And then it also says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. We don't want to come, you know, that you may have an ability that's natural for public speaking. And you might be able to come and present a flowery, beautiful testimony. That's not what the Lord's looking for. He's wanting something that's from the heart. Something that's true. Something that's accurate. Something that, but He wants it. And so the takeaway, I'm not telling you, you need to say something in church. Where you start is in the heart. But if it's in the heart, and if you have victory, and if the Lord's done something for you, even if you may be struggling with something, the Lord wants us to give a testimony. He wants us to do that, and there's many forms to do it. May the Lord help us and challenge us this morning. Titus 1 and 16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. So we can give a testimony that's an abomination to God. And it's because that every day, your life and mine, without ever opening our mouth, is a silent testimony to those that really gives a more accurate testimony and bears a better record than anything that we can say. So may the Lord help us that our actions will line up with our words, and that our testimony will be one that the Lord Himself will back up. He said, if you'll confess me, I'll confess you before my Father and the holy angels. Amen. You pray for me.